Christ Church. I'm excited to be here with you tonight. You can tell I'm not Chris Maybe. We sort of have a similar hairstyle. But he's taking care of some family matters tonight and spending some time with them, and I think that's very important. And I appreciate the opportunity by him to allow me to speak. I am the associate pastor of Men's Ministries, and I'm so grateful for that privilege. I see Brother Dave Burton here tonight. And during COVID, we were able to get together and meet over at our East campus at Panera Bread on Friday mornings. And we had a good crowd. And then we were able to move back here. We moved to the Refuge first and then back into Seabrook. So if you are interested, we have men's prayer breakfast every Friday. We get here at 6:30. And then at 7, we have a different speaker, a different message. We also have Power Hour on Wednesdays. We get here at 11:30, and then we have a message at 12 o'clock. I usually lead that. Right now I'm leading a series through David and looking at his life. I want to say I'm a good crowd here. I'm glad you're here tonight, and also welcome the people that are online. It's hard to... I was thinking about that during COVID because I always had a camera in my face and I was sitting at my table or outside looking at trees. And so I tend to forget that sometime. But I'm excited to be with you tonight. And I wanted us to look, and I love turning to God's Word. I have a new favorite Bible that I just got. You may be interested to get one. It's the Wearsby Study Bible. Dr. Warren Wearsby passed away this past year, but he did create a notes study Bible. And tonight we're in John chapter 21. You know, a lot of times we talk about the resurrection at Easter and then we move on just real quickly from that. But I want to continue in that thought of after the resurrection. And I want us to look in John chapter 21. And the title of my message tonight is When You Wander from the Lord. When you wander from the Lord. Notice what it says. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which that is the Roman name, but in their name it is the Sea of Galilee. And it says, and in this way he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am gone fishing. I was going to share with you tonight, I'm privileged to have an artifact from 2,000 years ago that I think came off of Simon Peter's door, and it says, gone fishing. But I didn't know that Bass Pro had been around that long, but this is from Bass Pro, and so if you want to touch this or look at it, I believe Simon Peter had one of these hanging on his door that night, because it says right here, he says, I am going fishing. And so they said to him, we're going with you also. And, you know, any of you guys ever been fishing? Hopefully most of you have. Any of you like to fish? Well, you know what happens when you go fishing? Your back slid. No, I'm just kidding. But he went fishing, and when you go fishing, other guys are willing to go with you. And they said, well, we're going with you also. So they went out and immediately got into the boat that night. They caught nothing. And when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. You know, John, this is his book. He didn't say, you know, the Lord loved me and, you know, I'm with Peter or whatever. So he's saying that. He said, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, but they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you?
knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" You know why Peter was grieved, don't you? Because he had denied the Lord three times, and the Lord told him that the cock would crow. And so now he's reminded this time that he had denied the Lord three times. And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." He spake, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Sounds like us, doesn't it? Lord's trying to work out something in our life. We're always worried about somebody else's business. You know, "Lord, well, what about him?" You know, he's talking to us, but we're worried about somebody else. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Notice they took the scripture out of context, and they started telling folks, "Well, this disciple is going to be here when Jesus comes back." And that's not what he was saying. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, "But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Boy, this is a powerful chapter of Scripture. You know, this week, Wednesday, I spoke about David, and it was 2 Samuel chapter 11, where David sees Bathsheba, and he commits a terrible sin, and from that time forward, he has a terrible struggle in his life. But I want to say that each of us at some point in our lives will miserably fail the Lord by yielding to some temptation or some sin. And I want to say, to be honest with you, that I fail the Lord many times. And I yield and do things that I shouldn't do. And so I can so identify with Simon Peter and getting away from the Lord. And I want to say that this is a lesson that Peter never forgot. You know, and I also want to say, to be honest with you, Jesus never criticized the disciples for going fishing. It's not a sin to go fishing, so please don't take that out of context. That was just a joke. But whatever their motives, fishing was a familiar activity that gave them a sense of normalcy and comfort at this time. It gave them something to do and a time to sort out their thoughts of all that they were going through, because a resurrection had never happened. That's why we have such a true God, a great God. He's the only one that's still living. Others claim to be God, but they're dead. But Jesus is still alive. And so it's believed by some that John added chapter 21 to clarify some misunderstandings about the relationship between his death and the coming of Christ. Now I want to say this, that the ancient church began to face some serious persecution in the third century, and leaders had to wrestle with the troubling question, what do we do with Christians who renounce Christ under the threat of persecution of death and wish to return to the church? And some said that denial made remittance impossible, that if you denied the Lord, there was no way that you could ever come back to God and fellowship with Him. But I want us to look tonight to see what is it that Christ teaches. Now, as we look at Simon Peter and we realize the process of what he's done, I want us to look first in Luke chapter 5 in verse 1, if you would turn with me, if you have your Bibles. I tell folks, you know, every class I've ever taken, whether it be in college or seminary or in school, I always carried my textbook with me. I think a teacher would throw me out. But a lot of times I'm seeing today, and I'm not saying you have to have, a lot of folks have their Bible on their phone or their iPad or their laptop or whatever, but we're looking at the Word of God, so we're looking at the text. And in Luke chapter 5 in verse 1, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the Word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, look, I'm the Bill Dance of today.' And he says, 'Man, I am the fisherman of fishermen, Lord, and I fished all night long, and I haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so that they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." I want to talk about the first impression for a moment that we should have of Peter. You know, first impressions make all the difference in the world. I'm trying to learn that more and more, because if you ruin that first impression, then after a while you're mud, you know. So you got to be careful about first impressions. But it says they left everything, followed him. Peter, first of all, we notice in that chapter that he was a trusting man. He didn't catch anything all night, but he did what Jesus said. So he was a very trusting man. That's a great first impression. He was very trusting. Number two, he was a very humble man. With the tearing nets and the sinking boats, he recognized that Jesus was more than your average man. That wasn't just Jesus' honey hole for fishing. There was something supernatural about this, so supernatural that it was breaking the nets and sinking the boats. And it led to his humbling, where he got on his knees before Jesus and said, "Lord, I am a sinful man." He was a humble man. And not only that, the third thing that should impress us is he was wholly obedient. In other words, he left everything and followed Jesus. That was the end. He left everything. But I want to say that after all of that, as we move forward here, you can still end up following Jesus at a distance. Following Jesus at a distance. I think that happens in our life sometime. We allow our spiritual lives to get further and further away, where we're just barely seeing Jesus and following Jesus at a distance. There are some things in our life that must be different for us not to do that. So there are some things that I want to share with you tonight, because when you wander from the Lord, remember, before Jesus was crucified, that Peter followed the Lord at a distance. And a lot of people today are getting some distance between them and the Lord. And I'm afraid that COVID is doing that. Some people are using COVID now as it's going to be their all-time excuse. Well, I just can't go back. It's COVID or whatever. But they're following the Lord at a distance. And so what is it that we need to do? What is it that we need to see? Well, as you look at the text of this scripture, in chapter 21, notice they said to him, we're going with you also. They went out, they got into the boat, and that night they caught what? Nothing. He didn't say they caught one small bream or one small bass or nothing at all. Their net was empty. They wasn't using a fishing line. Their net was empty. You know what? Jesus wants us to know that we can't do anything on our own. We need Him if we're going to be successful. They caught nothing. Notice something else. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. The right side of the boat. Jesus won't bless anything apart from Him. He's telling them what to do. Follow His directions. And He said, and you will find some. So they cast. Now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of the fish. What else He's saying? Follow His directions for their life. Here's where I think we're confused in the church today. Listen to Jesus. That's good. We should be gathering head knowledge. But do what He says. That's where we're leaving out today. It's all about collecting information, and Jesus is all about transformation. He wants us to be different after we hear His Word. He only blesses obedience. Jesus didn't say, boy, you were one of the best Sunday school teachers in the world. Come on in. Boy, you read all of these different translations. Come on in. No, He says, you were obedient to Me. You heard Me. You listened to Me. You followed Me. You obeyed Me. And so, what is it that we need to do if we want to be restored? Because we see here they had empty nets. I want to say that in my life, and I don't know about yours, I don't know everything about you, I don't know you personally, but I know some of you, but many times our efforts at work or parenting or ministry or whatever it is leaves us with empty nets. And the Lord allows us to experience a lack of productivity and frustrations and failure to bring us closer to Him so that we'll rely on Him and we'll come to Him. And so I want to say that if you're wandering away from the Lord, the first thing I'd say tonight is remember the Lord's provisions. Remember the Lord's provisions. Go back to a time where you're rehearsing in your mind a time that the Lord provided for you. I can think of so many times the Lord has blessed me. And then notice what happened. It says that when they did that, they were not able to draw the net because of so many fish. And we know the other time. And what does John say to Peter when this experience is happening? It's overabundant. He said, Peter, it's the Lord. What does Peter do? He jumps out of the boat. He heads for the shore. As soon as Peter hears this, he knows it's true. He leaps into the water. He swims to shore. Why does Jesus perform this miracle? I think it's because He wants His disciples to remember that He will still more than meet their every need. And Jesus wants us to remember that. He'll meet our need. Jesus prepared for you. He has a gracious welcome. I call it the fireside chat. And guys, if you ever look on Facebook and you look on my page, a lot of guys say, all I ever see is a fire. I'm always videoing my wife. She said, you know, I almost pray in the summer we'll have cold weather. You know, I pray, please, Lord, let it get a little cooler again, because I love sitting out on the deck, and I love sitting on the deck with a group of men and talking. It seems like you can look into a fire, and you can share your soul with other men. And so Jesus is going to have a fireside chat. I want to tell you what I thought of when I thought of this, because I was looking at this, and He says right here, Simon Peter went up, dragged the net full of large fish, 153, and all there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to him, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples asked Him, who are you? No, and then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it, and them likewise the fish. Notice what it said up above that, a fire of coals there, fish laid on it, and bread. And He said, bring some of the fish that you've caught. You know, I honestly, you think about this, how did that happen? You know, Jesus, I think, in meeting of the need, He just said, That was it. There was fire, there was fish, there was bread. He did a miraculous thing right there to draw their attention, to get them to come to him. And he's prepared for you. And I say that this is a fireside chat. What kind of chat is it that Jesus wants to have with us? What is it that he wants to do with you? Number one, it's a fire of inspection. It's a fire of inspection. You know what he asked Simon Peter, the most important thing that he asked you and I? The most important thing he will ask you and ask me is, do you love me? That's the most important question he will ever ask. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's a fire of inspection. And he's trying to correct something, a mistake that Peter made in public, so he's correcting it in public. If you've made a mistake in private, get it corrected in private. But if you've made it in public, get it correct in public. And that's what Jesus is doing. It's a fire of inspection. But I want to say it's a fire of correction. Not only does God want us to look into our hearts and lives, and that's why he speaks to us through his word, but he wants to correct whatever it is that we're doing in the wrong direction. He wants to fix that. And so he wants to correct. So what does he do? Peter denied him three times, so what does he do? He asks him three times, Simon Peter, do you love me? You know how he says? He's going to show him here in just a minute. And then it's a fire of direction. He tells Peter, he says, one of these days, he said, Peter, you're always doing exactly how you want to do and what you want to do. You're young and strong. You know, Peter pulls a sword off, cuts off an ear, does whatever, walks on the water. You know, Peter was very humble. If I was the disciple that got out of the boat and walked on water, what, you know, some guys, they love to remind you of some great thing they've done, you know, all the time. You know, there's Mike. He's the guy always telling me he walked on the water. You know, every time, first thing he tells you, man, hey, I was with Jesus. I was the only one out of all those guys. I walked on the water, you know. And then, of course, Jesus standing there, he goes, yeah, and you sunk pretty quick too, didn't you? He has a way to sink that ego. But that's not what Peter did. I don't remember reading that Peter ever bragged about walking on the water. When we, like Peter, fail the Lord, though, we need to remember what it's like when we were living for him. We need to remember the words of Jesus. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we follow the Lord, we don't have to worry because he'll provide everything we need. What is that saying I've heard? Where the Lord guides, he provides. He provides. He'll sustain us with what we need. And so Jesus tells them, he says, come and dine. So I want to say that we need to remember the Lord's provision in our life, and it'll help us to move forward. But the second thing, and this is very hard, I think, for most of us, is recognize your weakness. Recognize your weakness. After they finished eating, Jesus used Peter's original name, and he says, Simon, do you love me? And he said, do you love me more than these? And there have been all kind of scholars have said, well, he's asking him, do you love me more than these other disciples? Or, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these boats and these nets and these fish? But I like it that he really didn't tell us, because he's asking us, what is it that you love more than me? What is it? Do you love me more than all the stuff you're collecting, or the job you have, or the influence you have? Are you loving me more than, you know, we think we love Jesus more than some other person in the church in comparison or whatever? Jesus is asking, do you love me more than these? You know, Simon Peter, his problem, his weakness was his pride. You remember what he told the Lord? He said, Lord, though they fall away, I'll never fall away. Don't ever say never. Don't ever say never. I'll never deny you, Lord. I know many times I've denied him. And he would deny him three times. Lord saying, you boasted that you love me. Now I ask you, do you love me more than these? You know, the Bible says when pride comes, comes disgrace. Our Lord changed Peter's name to rock, and it was a rock that had crumbled before the disciples. So the Lord is trying to restore him and get him going again. And so how's he express his love for Jesus? Well, Peter wrote this to the elders in the church, 1 Peter 5:2. He said, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. Y'all want to know what a pastor is? You want to know what a pastor does? Simon Peter's telling that right here. He's a guy who's not just doing it for the money. He's not just dominating over people in the church, but he's being an example to the flock. It was their job to provide for the flock. Food, spiritual food. You know what it says in the Bible? I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Providing food is not convenient, but it's important. And it's important that we share the whole counsel of God, not pick and choose. A lot of folks, we think it's a buffet line when we come to church. This is what I want, and I select this. I don't want that. I want the dessert. I don't want that. You ever hear that? You hear that a lot in the church. It's frustrating of the sheep telling the shepherd how he needs to guide them and what they need to do when they need to be praying and asking God to lead him to guide them. And the good shepherd guides with sympathy and tenderness, binding up which is broken and strengthening that which is feeble. I always heard that a real shepherd smells like sheep. We should smell like sheep because we spend time with sheep. You know, Peter says, Lord, you know. And so what he's saying is the Lord knows our hearts. And would not God have discovered it since he knew the secrets of the heart? He knows Peter's heart. So here's love's answer. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's answer is, he was grieved. That's his answer. Lord, I know I let you down. That's the way I feel sometimes, and I say that. God, I know I've let you down. I don't deserve to be able to stand here and proclaim your word and to serve you. God, I know I let you down. And love's answer is grief sometimes. But love evidence is feed the sheep. We know that Peter fed the sheep. He knows Peter's denial. He knows his lapse in faith, but he also knows Peter's heart. And I want to say, whatever your weakness is, you need to recognize it. You need to confess it. You need to forsake it and get it out of your life. When you wander from the Lord, remember his provision, recognize your weakness, and then I want to say this, recommit your life. Recommit your life. Notice what he says in John chapter 21. And he said to him the third time, and he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spake, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. You think Peter was restored? We know he was. He says, he's telling him what kind of death he's going to die. He said, you're going to glorify me in your death. You're not going to deny me the next time. And according to tradition, we know that Simon Peter was crucified how? Upside down. He said, because why? I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And they crucified him upside down. And then Simon Peter says in 2 Peter 1:14, he makes it clear how he's going to die. He said, the Lord told me this is how. Can you imagine living with the weight of that throughout your life? Is that the Lord gave me a vision of exactly how I'm going to die, and that time is coming. I say that would be on my mind an awful lot, would it not with you? I mean, he knows. For 3 decades, Peter lived with the prediction of his gruesome crucifixion. And he was taken exactly as Christ said on the place of crucifixion. He says to him, follow me. Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for men. Peter had been a disappointing follower. He's given him a chance to recommit that call. And he's willing to do it. And then notice, so what do? We remember the Lord's provision. We recognize our weakness. We recommit our lives to him, and we can do that constantly. That's why we used to have something called revival services. You remember that? And that wasn't for the lost people. It was for Christians to get back right with God and start doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we pray that in America we'll have revival again and that people's lives will be changed and they'll come to Christ and recommit their life. But I want to say the next one. Then Peter, turning in verse 20, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said, "If he will tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Total commitment demands undivided attention to your task, to your job, your role. God has given each of us a spiritual gift, and each person is important. Each gift is important. I want every part of my body. Don't you want every part of your body? I don't want y'all to say, "Well, Mike's got 9 fingers and his thumb's missing," or whatever. And I think anybody that has a part missing wishes they could have every part, because every part is important to them. Every part is important to them. Don't get caught up in the trap of saying, "Well, I'll go," or "I'll serve if so-and-so will go," or "I'll come if others will come. I'll repent. I'll get on my knees if I see so-and-so do it." Jesus rebuked Peter, and he told Peter that John's task was not his concern. His own task were to be his concern, and Peter was not to look at another person's call or ministry and be distracted or wish that he had had that ministry or desire another ministry or compare his ministry to their ministry or copy or conform to that ministry or meddle in other folks' ministry. He's plowing down my row. I mean, sometimes I've looked out and I'm like, "Lord, why is he blessed? I'm not blessed," or complaining. It's not true. God has his own specific call for me and the ministry, and he has his own specific call for you and your ministry. And we're going to have a difficult time if we don't quit looking at other folks and saying, "Well, Lord, what about this man?" So I want to say to you tonight that when you wander from the Lord, remember the Lord's provision. Has he ever blessed your life? "Man, I've been so blessed. So thankful. So blessed." Recognize your weakness. Don't ever boast that you won't deny the Lord. You'll do it. So many times, every day, so many times, recommit your life. Decide, "I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to be committed today." And then release your concerns about what other folks are supposed to be doing and do what you can do. There's a ministry for you. You know, I love the prayer breakfast. I love that the men get together here at the church and they pray and they send out letters. They send out cards and they're really concerned. But at the end of the prayer breakfast, some men have been helping me, and we gather up the food that's left at the prayer breakfast, and they go to the fire station and feed the firemen. And just the other day, Brother Kyle Rote went with me the other day, and he was so humble. Because, you know, Kyle is a professional athlete, was a professional soccer player, and he and I went to the fire station, and we brought the food out, and a guy looked at Kyle, and he said, "I know you." And Kyle said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, you were one of the coaches in the gym at Christ Church." Kyle said, "Yeah, I was." And he really enjoyed that. And he didn't try to correct and say, "Well, you know who I am." He just served right there, served those. That's what God wants us to do. I want to ask Matt as he makes his way forward for just a moment. I want to say that getting away from God is a universal reality. It happens to many people all the time and many times. It's universal. And being away from God's an uneasy experience. When you're not in fellowship with the Lord's people and the Lord, you just feel uneasy and you know it. But I want to say that returning to God is a glorious possibility, and it's only a knee away, a prayer away, to get back in fellowship with God. Would you play for us, Matt? I want to say that having fellowship with God restores the joy. If you would stand with me tonight. It restores the joy and the usefulness of your opportunity to be in fellowship with Christ and be restored with Him. If you're out of fellowship with God tonight, would you come forward and maybe pray? We'll pray with you, or you can pray by yourself. Or if you feel unforgiven, He's offering forgiveness tonight. Would you receive that forgiveness?